Hello, everybody. Welcome to Two Guys Five Movies. This is one of your co-hosts, Chris Gasperi.
This is Frank Pellicone.
You are listening to episode 112 of The Spin Chagrin, and last week's category was Let's Shoot. So, Frank, we got a text today. Well, you weren't involved in it, but Chagrin historian and friend of the podcaster Ryan Wellmaker was trying to find more quotes to torture you with and stumbled upon Let's Shoot and found out what the origin of it was. And it was episode 79. And now I can't read my writing. Is it Russian Terminator?
Oh, yeah. Russian Terminator. That's good.
Yeah. And apparently it comes from you sitting there and saying that the title of this movie should have been Let's Shoot, because that's all they fucking do.
Nice.
So that's I just wrote down Let's Shoot at that point. And that's how that, I guess, this came about.
That movie's fucking hilarious.
So that's the origins, because you asked last week, like, where did this come from? Like, and I had no idea. Yeah. But that is the origin, thanks to Orion listening to the episode this morning and letting me know. So, number of different ways that you could have taken this.
Number of different ways that I presumed to take it until I just found that by accident.
Right.
The movie that it was.
So I'm actually aware of the movie this week.
And so, watched it.
And watched it, yes. Much to my chagrin.
It really is, like, I'm gonna consider this one of your red cards considering I kind of forced it on you. And
I mean, the problem is you didn't actually force it on me. You almost, like, you know, like, threw, like,
tried to warn you off it, right?
Well, yeah, right. So, like, you threw, like, chum in the fucking water, and knowing that I would be curious enough to take the bait. So, which I did. So
I wasn't going to tell you what it was at first, because I was like, I'm watching a movie and you would absolutely hate it.
But that's the beginnings of it.
Yeah.
High in influence.
It's true.
So
my disc assessment continues to another podcast.
Yes. It'll never die now. You got the D in the I, strong. So you want to tell everybody, like, what this movie is?
So the first movie that I watched and the movie that you watched for my chagrin journey of the week is 2010's Robin Hood, starring Russell Crowe, Cate Blanchett, William Hurt, Oscar Isaac, Danny Houston, Max von Sydow, Kevin Durand, one of my favorite character actors of the past, like, 20 years. It is a realistic, that's not, maybe not the right word. It's like a poor mud grimdark retelling of, like, the Robin Hood fable, sort of, by firmly squaring it in maybe, like, the Kingdom of Heaven-esque universe, sort of, I would say.
Is it poor mud or are you using mud as capital MUD, like an old school mud, like multi-user dungeon?
Oh, that works too. No, there's hyphens, I think. Poor hyphen mud hyphen grim hyphen dark.
Okay.
Because everyone's poor and everything's muddy and brown, and
okay,
there's no, like, humor to anything. It's just all grim and
yes,
half the dark. Movie takes place in, like, the pitch blackness because you can't see what the fuck's going on. So it's dark.
Oh, even when it's daytime, it's dark. Don't
it's
worry.
True. It's true because it's grim times.
Yes,
in the Middle East.
So tell her, huh?
So I say this, and it probably makes it sound like I did not enjoy this movie. But in spite of myself, I actually enjoyed this movie for the most part, even though I had some problems with it at points. So what were you going to ask? What's your question?
I was going to try to segue into you telling them like this variation of like Robin Hood and like how this be, because it's different than what, you know, probably most people I think know the things that, well, that I know probably the best, which is the like Robin Hood cartoon or sure. the Kevin Costner Prince of Thieves movie or something like that, which is two very similar stories overall. And this similar is different retail. From that. Yeah.
Sure. This is a thing that I think was meant to place Robin Hood more in the believable myth category, like where it's not just like a swashbuckling adventure, like high fantasy isn't the right word, but like, you know, just like that fantastical, you know, whatever myth-based Robin Hood. They were trying mm-hmm. to plant it more firmly in a realistic space, I guess, because they wanted to try and build like a whole universe on it. The problem with it is that I don't know, it's like it's got some elements that are really silly to it and super unbelievable. And it almost tries to make Robin Hood. The thing that I can't stand about certain movies, especially from like this ilk, are when you try and make some character a Christ figure, you know, for no reason. Like that's not what he needs, that's not what it is. Like, I don't know. And that's kind of like what they do with Robin Hood, where he's like this man that rises from humble beginnings, the son of a stonemason, to be like the head of this revolution that has the power to bring like the kingdom to its knees or whatever. It's just, I don't know, it's fucking lame, that part of it. I did enjoy mostly everything else. So you want me to like give my like quick synopsis?
Just yeah, take like, us through the story like here. Yeah.
Yeah. So starts with the Crusades, where a lot of Robin Hood stories start, where Robin Hood's been to the Crusades and has come back broken man. In this case, he is not a lord or a titled whatever. Like he's not like the Lord of Locksley Manor. Because that's like the beginning of many Robin Hood stories, is that while he's away at the Crusades, King John and the Sheriff of Nottingham have taken his lands from him and basically left him like bereft of a place to come home to, in an effort to fund their whatever their war. In this case, he is on the Crusades with King Richard. John is just a prince. He's like the half brother of Richard, and he's still just a prince back in England. Richard is killed in the Crusades, which allows John to usurp the crown. At the same time, Robin is just like a yeoman, like archer in Richard's army. He's known as Robin Longstride, which I guess is like his whatever his real last name in kayfabe. He's got a brawling group of friends that like he's made in the war, which include Little John, Will Scarlet. Fuck, who's the other one?
Alan Adale or whatever.
Yeah, Alan Adale. And then they come upon Robert Locksley being murdered by this ridiculous fucking Frenchman / Englishman who's working for the French, in collusion with the French to allow Prince Philip to invade England. So he's murdered. Robert Locksley, who has the king's crown, but Robin Longstride and his merry men, they chase off the bad guys and they end up getting the crown. And so their idea is they're going to pretend to be Locksley, or Robin's going to pretend to be Locksley. They're going to go back and turn in the crown, get whatever reward they can get, and then go to like on their way. But the guy gives Robin a sword that's like emblazoned with some phrase, and I can't remember what it is, but it's said like 17 times in the movie, so you think I would remember. Something like when lambs rise to something or else, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So this starts to inspire Robin. He goes back to Nottingham, where Robin Locksley was from, and falls in with meets the woman that was Robin's wife, or Robert's wife, and Robert's father. They decide to concoct this ruse that Robin is actually the returning Robert so that no one can come and take his lands away from him. So here's where the first thing that kind of clued me into what ends up being my problem with this movie, which is like what happens in the last 25 minutes of it. Number one, John is not the king. He becomes the king, but he's just like a fledgling king. The Sheriff of Nottingham is a boob, but he's not like a villain at that point. He's just like the Sheriff of Nottingham.
Mm-hmm.
So they try and make this story almost kind of like Braveheart Light, where it's about uniting like the Baron Kings of England against the invading forces right. of France, and everyone like ends up rallying under Robin's cry because, oh my God, one of the worst scenes in the movie is he sits down with Von Sydow, who's the father or whatever, and has these flashbacks to when his father, who was a Mason, like made this fucking creed that he hid under a paving stone or whatever in a fountain that was going to unite all the barons, but then he got murdered, and I don't know, it's terrible. That part is awful. So Robin like unites everybody and they're all on board, and he even gets King Philip, or he gets King John to promise to basically protect the lords, and it does this other thing that I hate, which is like pushing the idea of democracy in an era where it didn't exist. Like, no one was asking for equal rights for barons in the fucking 1400s or whatever. So that's also kind of lame, and it's just trying to like give you this pro-America connection, you know, hundreds of years later where none should really exist. If anything, it should be like lower taxes or whatever. That's the thing that Robin Hood was fighting for anyway, which was like getting rid of excess taxes, not stripping the nobility of like their whatever, like leads major, whatever the fuck you call it. So anyway,
eat the rich, man.
So, and this is just at the time when that would have been happening. Like, it would have been concocted in 2008, and anyway, whatever. So all the forces of England assemble, and Prince Philip, his team is like landing on the shores of Dover, which also is ridiculous that like no one in the British Empire would have like a watch anywhere around, you know, one of the biggest like shorelines in the country, but whatever. So they end up fighting this like big climactic battle, and Robin is the one that ends up beating what is the name of the bad guy? Dominic or something like that, or Gordon? No.
You mean the bald fucker?
Yeah, there's this guy who's like a turncoat that John thinks is his friend, but he's really working for Philip the whole time. Anyway, so
yeah, Godfrey.
Godfrey, yeah. Robin ends up like killing him, and there's another thing that I hate in this movie, which is Marion donning like full fucking armor, like she's Eowyn in Lord of the Rings, and like riding into battle, but then being knocked from her horse by Godfrey, and then what's his name? Robin saves her, and he ends up being like the hero of England, and everyone's rallying around him. So that makes John mad because he wants everyone to like him. So he immediately goes back on his word and declares Robin an outlaw. And then you see this thing where him and his merry men are like assembled in Sherwood Forest with Marion, because him and Marion are together. And it's leading into the idea of like the Sheriff of Nottingham working for John, and, you know, whatever, like the subsequent, like the stuff you actually know if you're familiar with like the Robin Hood legend and, you know, folklore from that time. So some of the changes I thought were lame and unnecessary, but overall, like, I enjoyed most of the performances, and I actually kind of liked, I liked the early changes to it. Like, again, it reminded me a lot of Kingdom of Heaven in the way it was filmed, and kind of like the more gritty realism to it. But then I felt like it just swayed too much into this kind of like lame direction that I think too many movies were in at this time, which is trying to make them relevant to like the modern like zeitgeist or whatever. So it's about like freedom and rights and equality, and like that shit wasn't happening, whatever. I don't know why I can't just make a movie take place in the time period it takes place and have that be that, instead of trying to fucking shoehorn all these fake ideals in there to like appease some imaginary audience that obviously doesn't exist, because I'm sure that no one thinks about this movie to this day.
Except for us. Except for the two guys.
Right.
Well, aren't thinking about it.
I gotta find somewhere. So they're shooting all over the place in this movie because there's arrows galore. Like,
yeah.
Robin Hood is definitely, you know, shooting constantly. So, but yeah, I don't know. So I wouldn't say that I really enjoyed it, but I also didn't hate it. And there was enough of it that I liked where it kept me interested until I started like zoning out of it somewhat, just because I thought it was lame, like the direction they took it in. It really wasn't until Marion rode up in her stupid like custom made armor that why the fuck would she have that? Because she never had that, and now it's like, what, you got this like boob armor made in like what, a day? I'm like, what the fuck?
Right. That was very, very silly. I didn't actually mind this movie as much as it's going to sound like as a movie itself. Like, it's fine. It's, I don't know, like, cliched, like, throughout. Like, it just, and that's really my biggest problem with it, is everything is an echo of something that has come previously in some other stupid fucking Middle Ages movie that just feels completely derivative. Despite the fact that this is like a different kind of telling of Robin Hood, it still falls, the actual script falls on the tropes of what has come before. And even Ridley Scott falls on tropes of what has come before from a director standpoint. So where my chagrin comes from is those tropes and those cliches that remind me of other things that why I fucking can't stand things set in these time periods. So one thing I'm done with, so I'll go shoot.
I'm glad.
One thing I am done with. I'm done with text on a screen telling me a story. I fucking hate it. It's so old. Like, show me the story. Don't, like, make me read a couple paragraphs here and there to tell me more of your story. Like, if you can't show that visually, you suck. Like, you suck as, like, as a creator if you need to rely on the text. Stop showing it to me in, like, written in old script that, like, makes me strain to read because it was set in an old time and it looks nothing like the actual script of that time. It's just modern English to tell you the story, but written in some kind of way that looks like it's old, but it actually looks nothing like what language looked like back then to give the appearance and kayfabe of being old. I hate that shit. I'm done with it. And this movie relies on that, like, at different points. And it just, right away, right out the box, and it fucking irritated me. But at that point, it's like, I was still fine. But very quickly, and I texted you this, like, pretty early on. It's like, God, I just think I hate fight scenes during this time period. It's not fight scenes. You know what I hate is siege scenes. I hate sieges. And here's why I hate sieges. I've realized, like, I really, like, reflected on, like, why I hate this stuff is because these fucking men, it's all men, like, that sit there and direct these type of movies get so obsessed with the intricacies of, like, let me show you this boiling. I got this scene. This is a scene, Storm in the Castle. It's called, like, you know, from this movie on YouTube. And it's like, I'm sitting here, like, watching this shit, like, you know, and it's like, let me show you the boiling oil. Right. And let me show you somebody stirring it really quick. And it's like, oh, let me show you, like, people, like, picking up, like, you know, pieces of, like, broken pieces of the castle to drop it on people's heads. And let's show this little scene of, like, somebody planning to run towards the castle as a decoy. Like, so, like, you know, these other people can, like, do this shit. and like arrows are flying all over and just bodies are falling. You don't actually know what the fuck's going on. Somebody catches on fire. Look, somebody just caught on fire. Like,
because you got like, boiling oil, man.
Right. And they get obsessed with this shit. And it's like, you know what? I don't care. Tell me the fucking story. I don't care about the fucking details of the fucking siege because it's the same details that I've seen in a siege before. Just like I don't care about the details of a fucking lightsaber or a phaser. I don't care how they work. I don't need the explanation for it. Just like it's a prop. Just tell me the fucking story. Like, tell me something that matters, that like means something. And don't just show me a bunch of images of like, you know, because like I'm sure somebody like did like tons of research, like, you know, because they're geeking out like about a time when men were men or something like that. I hate the shit. I'm done with it. Like, I hate the only Storm of the Castle that I care about is Princess Bride. That's it. But you know who did this right? I did think of one person. It's Mel Gibson. Mel Gibson did the siege thing right. It's like 2 minutes of a siege in Braveheart. And then they mention how they're storming other castles and taking them. But you don't have to fucking see it. Because you got the glimpse of like the brief siege. So you get what a siege is. And then they tell you a fucking story about characters. So Mel Gibson, like, you know, like that anti-Semite, like, does it right. You know? Done with that shit. I hate fucking sieges.
I think that it's done well in Excalibur. The three times that it happens.
You know, I really thought that like some of this shit with me was like was it being like these would kind of be like Larry Gasparri movies, but it's like, you know what? I can't actually think of a specific example of any of these movies that Larry would have like watched. like these type of movies. He liked Braveheart, but I like Braveheart. But sure, it's like these older, like these type of movies, there's something about them though. Like I just they get under my skin, and it's like the more I thought about this movie and about like what happens in the tropes, like I really just got irritated. And it is today I started getting irritated thinking about it. Other things in this, like I'm tired of some actors acting as if they are in that olden time, and other actors, or maybe it's the way the characters are written or something, acting like they're like not in that time period. Like the way they speak. And I feel that like is really inconsistent throughout this movie at times, where it's like, you know, the main characters are a little bit more like speaking in some kind of way of like the olden times, and then like the lesser characters are not. And that irritates me. I feel, and your boy is one of those people sometimes, like in the way that like he feels more modern than old-timey, like, you know, like in the movie.
I have a rebuttal to that, and okay. It also annoys me.
Mm-hmm.
However, I think it's because people that are meant to be viewed as like commoners are allowed to speak in a more like I don't know, like colloquial English. Whereas someone who's supposed to be a lord has to speak with a certain level of refinement or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that's if that's fine. 100% true, but I mean, that's what I would assume is the reasoning behind.
I'll accept it. Whatever. It really throws me off, and it ends up sounding stupid and like a lot of times taking me out of these movies. I hate the look of this movie because everything is grim dark. Like I can't stand the shit. It's like and it has blue tint to it at times. Some blue tint at times. And it's like the fact that Ridley Scott, like the guy that like, you know, fucking made like two of like the greatest sci-fi atmospheres like ever, is like in 2010, is like, how do I create some mood here? Let's go with some blue tint. Makes me sick to my fucking stomach. and it proves like, you know, a half hack he became, like, you know, in the second half of his career, despite a couple good movies. Like, is he's relying on the things that, like, you know, fucking Gore Verbinski is doing, like, in like the mid 2000s. So that sucked. I hate the fucking mud. Like, you know, like, you know, the poor mud, like, you know, shit, like, all the time. It's so fucking awful. Like, to just, like, and then everything's got to be, like you said, it's got to be dark. Even the daylight is dark. You know what's not dark is, like, you said, like, Kingdom of Heaven. Kingdom of Heaven isn't dark. It's actually bright. Like, you actually can see everything that's happening.
Sure.
In Kingdom of Heaven. Braveheart is bright.
Yeah, that's true.
Braveheart's poor mud, but it's bright. It's not trying to create mood and atmosphere through darkening everything. So it's like making everything rainy seeming, like, all the time.
Braveheart's not grimdark, though. Braveheart is meant to, like, fill you with, like, a love of, like, Scotland, kind of, and Ireland, and the, yeah, you know what I mean?
But even when they move to England during the attacks, like, it's a little, like, you know, cloudier and stuff like that in a lot of those scenes, but you still fucking see everything. Like, you can still see what's happening. And there's still mud. So it's like, you don't got to make shit dark for atmosphere. Like, you know, it can be... It's like, you know, I mean, in fact, like, it kind of makes some of the battles more horrific when you can actually, like, when it does, when you're not, like, making it moody and dark due to atmosphere. So I'm tired of that, like, trend of, like, you know, everything set in 1100 to 1400 has to, like, have, like, dark filters on everything. And, like, it just, to me, it just makes it look mostly like shit.
It does. You know what it reminded me of, and you never watched this movie. It was filmed very similar to the Nicolas Cage Hayden Christensen movie, where they're both, like, samurais, kind of like saving Japan or whatever.
We need to get AI to write that movie, Saving Japan.
I think that they're saving something. I can't remember.
I don't actually hold on to Hayden.
I think it's Hayden Christensen.
Yeah, it is. It's called Outcast.
That's it. Thank you.
Yeah. I don't even remember you talking about this.
But movie. even then, like, in the daylight scenes, it looks like the middle of the night.
I do remember you talking about this movie now, yeah.
I remember watching it.
Yeah, I just don't like all of that. And it's a much more modern thing. It's like it started in the 2000s somewhere and just, like, you know, it's continued. Cheap pops. There's two cheap pops in this movie. There's one that's more egregious than the other. Both of them involve shooting. The first cheap pop is when, what did we say his name is? Godfrey. Is trying to get away on a horse on the beach and is, like, riding away and fucking long stride, like, fucking, like, shoots an arrow, like, into the air, like, a great distance, and, like, expertly, like, has the arrow go through Godfrey's head to kill him.
Through his neck, but anyway.
Whatever. It doesn't fucking matter. It's all the same shit. Like, it's designed for that cheap pop effect. And I am so tired of the cheap pop villain death. I don't care if it's the Aragorn, like, you know, killing the orc, if it's Darth Maul getting cut in half. It's these fucking scenes that are designed for some sort of crowd reaction. Like, for people, like, you know, to go, yeah. And it's like, you know what? I don't think anybody in 2010 in the theater in Robin Hood was sitting there going, like, yeah, like, you know. Upon that, it's like it's a misunderstanding.
Did anybody even see Robin Hood in 2010?
I don't know. I didn't look up, like, but is this, like, no, I think it's this
missing $322 million. That's pretty
Jesus
good.
Christ.
Somebody went to see it
off a budget of estimated between 155 to 237.
That was back in the day when everyone would see every movie ever.
Yeah, but it's like, this isn't that movie. It has not been like designed to be that movie, like necessarily, I don't think, for the cheap pop out of nowhere. Like, and then it's like, and who?
So what's your second cheap pop that you got angry about?
The very end of the movie with the Nottingham, like the Sherwood Forest shit. Like,
where he shoots the.
Yes. Like the it's I don't know what there's a specific term for that in film, and I can't remember what it is, but it's that like little moment of action, like as small as it may be, that like is like the zinger kind of, like, you know, like to show you like this is the end credits, like, you know, and it's like them holding up the wanted poster or whatever, like against the tree, and the arrow comes out of nowhere and like, you know, sticks it to the fucking tree, and it's like, you know, Robin Hood shooting, like, you know, like
he finishes the movie just shooting,
right? So that's fucking irritating. Russell, you know, Crowe is irritating. Oh, so go ahead.
You're funny about your complaint is the other movie we're going to talk about, which is also a Robin Hood movie, ends in almost exactly the same way with almost exactly the same.
It does.
Yeah.
For some reason, I laughed when that happened, though. As opposed to this one, where
It's meant to be more serious in this iteration of Robin Hood.
Yeah. It's still supposed to be this, like, you know, like thing that like uplifts you at the end or whatever. And it's like, you know, and it does the opposite because it's like, it's such a trope. And in me, it just makes my stomach churn. Like, you know, like, because like, I've seen it so many times. It's like, and I don't mean to malign these movies, but it's almost like I feel like something like a Fast and the Furious type thing at the end, where it's like a car is just like, you know, something happens at the end and it's like somebody speeds off and it brings the credits like behind the car or something, like, you know, like any of those movies. I'm sure fucking like dumb things like Taxi or something, like, you know, the Jimmy Fallon movie does the same thing, if I remember correctly, of like seeing the very end.
Like, I wouldn't know.
I had Showtime for a while, back in the day. Like, so I can't stand that shit. Russell Crowe is so dull most of the time as a leading man. I think he's dull in this. I think he can emote. I think he can deliver lines well in his like gruff way, but it's like, he's supposed to be charming at times in this, and his charm is to slowly lift the left upper lip into this kind of curled supposed grin. And that's charm. I don't think he fits a leading man, like a heroic, like baby face leading man, like that well. Like, he works better in something like Gladiator, but this isn't Gladiator. Like, this isn't that story necessarily. Like, you have to have, and you as a D and an I on your DISC assessment would know that you need something more if you're gonna be the Christ savior figure of England. Like, more than what he has in terms of the charisma department. Like, he ain't leading these motherfuckers in terms of the charisma. So that feels miscast. Cate Blanchett feels wasted. That character feels That character feels wasted, because I love Cate Blanchett. And I mean, she's fine, but it's like, the character doesn't do her any favors whatsoever. And the female portrayal in this is like one of those half-handed things where it's like, you know, like half-stepping type things where it's like you try to make her like elevate her, but it's like you're actually like every single time you do it, you're kind of like lessening her and like, you know, like like nearing her in some way. So it's like she's got her, like you said, she got her tit armor that like gets developed real quick, and she's gonna be in the battle, and then it's like pretty much right away. Like she's like he's gotta like go pick her up and carry her because she's fucking weak and can't do shit. So it's like every single time they try to elevate her, it's like, you know, oh, she's tough and she'll like stab a motherfucker like if he tries to like, you know, like make a move on her, you know, but it's like you plant some fucking seeds and she wants the dick. Like it's this really like
true
underhanded way of like making her nothing like as a female in the movie while making it seem like you're progressive.
I like how much hate you have for this movie. It's
getting worse the more I talk about it. But a lot of it though is the tropes. You know who I really like in this movie? I'll say something good. It's the earliest role I've ever seen him in, I think. I really like Oscar Isaac in this movie.
Oh, yeah, he's good.
I really, really like him a lot in this movie. I think he does that character well. The problem that I have, though, is the trope. Is why does every one of these damn type of movies set during this time period, why is every single, like, prince or king or something have to just be have the same narcissistic, like, man-child tendencies? Why is there no depth? Like, why is there nothing like necessarily unique about these people other than that they're just craven, power hungry? You can't have depth.
That's the whole no, because there doesn't it doesn't have enough time to build an actual character there. It just needs something you can.
You got 2 hours and 20 minutes, man. You got plenty of time.
Only if you actually spend time developing it. You got to have Russell Crowe looking up through his eyelashes longingly at, you know, Maid Marian.
What's the problem there?
I mean, that's important. It takes a lot of time. Got to develop that look. I don't know. There's nothing really, like, interesting or innovative about the movie.
And that's the problem with these movies. There's never anything really interesting or innovative about these movies.
Well, we're going to talk about one coming up that is trying to be innovative and ends up failing pretty hardcore.
So. I think that's all my major complaints about this movie.
Yeah, I'm going to go through the next one quick because I feel like we talked about fucking Kingdom of Heaven 2 for like 1,000 years.
Kingdom of Heaven's a much better movie than this ever was. Don't.
Yeah, but this is a lesser sequel.
All right, tell them about was it 2018 Robin Hood?
Is that 2018 Robin Hood, right? So mm-hmm. I figured, why let it go with just one?
Mm-hmm.
Like let's build on it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's free somewhere. Freebie maybe or
it's Hulu.
Oh, Hulu, you're right. That's right. So even worse retelling and reimagining,
yes.
Where it starts. So for some reason, like Robin Hood in the Russell Crowe world is old. Like he's like in his like mid to late 30s and maybe even older than that. This, Robin Hood is a young man, has already fallen in love with Maid Marian, who was cosplaying as Melina from Mortal Kombat with her booby tunic and ninja mask when she's trying to steal a horse from him as a child or a teenager.
Yes.
Which he then like catches her and basically kind of sexually assaults her sort of, or at least like does some uncomfortable things and then gives her the horse as a payment. So he goes off to the Crusades. They find that the Saracens have automatic crossbow shooters that shoot like 100 fucking arrows a second or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Super realistic. Whatever. He fucking gets sent back to. He tries to save the character that would have been Azeem's son, but Azeem loses his hand, but it's not Azeem. You find out later that it's John. They don't try and find a way to call him Little John, so he's just John, but it's supposed to be Little John. And then they go back to England, and Maid Marian has, in 4 years, heard that Rob, they call him, which is really obnoxious, has died. So now she's banging Will, and it's not Will Scarlet, it's like Will Terrell or something like that. But it's supposed to be Will Scarlet. And Will Scarlet's kind of this punk who is trying to rally the people while still being on the side of the Sheriff of Nottingham, who's Ben Mendelsohn character, who's like a scenery chewing asshole who just wants to steal money from everybody and is colluding with the Cardinal from Rome to basically funnel money to the Saracens to keep the war going forever. Because I guess the plot is that they're going to get the king to get killed during the Crusades so they can take over England and rule England. But, you know, Robin and his one-man gang in Little John, they want to put a stop to it. Let me say, here's one of the things that really bothered me about this. This movie's fucking awful. Mm-hmm. And it's got some funny stuff, like, unintentionally, but for the most part, it's just a terrible movie. There's so many times where the idea is that Robin is supposed to be hiding, you know, he's Rob, and he's in a, it's kind of like Batman, sort of, like, where he's pretending to be, like, this stuck-up aristocrat to get in with, like, the rich people, so you can find out their mm-hmm. plots, and then, like, masquerading as this vigilante can, like, steal their money. So his disguise is, like, the same, like, blue, I don't know, like, shirt piece just, like, pulled up over his nose that, like, a COVID mask in 2022 never quite stayed up over the nose and just fell down constantly.
Right.
And then his partner, John, is, like, a black man from the Middle East. And up until, like, the last segment when the poor people are trying to, like, rally against the rich people, he's the only black man in all of Nottingham.
Right.
And yet he's never covered up and never hidden and always out in public when things are happening. So how do they not know? Like, it's like, you know who fucking Robin Hood is. Like, that's his best friend there that's mm-hmm. driving the buggy, like, wide out in the open. Like, everyone can see him. And people are still, like, flummoxed as to who could possibly be Robin Hood. So,
right.
There's so many things wrong with this movie. What did I tell you? It's like a combination of Lord of the Rings, The Matrix, and something else awful. I couldn't even think of, like, a good comp for it. Right. But it looks like something made by the BBC, kind of. Or, like, one of those, like, that Hansel and Gretel witch hunter movie or whatever, where mm-hmm. just everything feels, like, fake about it.
Right.
There's weird things they do. Like, they turn Will Scarlet into some kind of, like, Two-Face villain, and he becomes the new Sheriff of Nottingham, which is a weird twist, I guess. I don't know. There's just really nothing good about it. I was going to talk about it more, but you really kind of took the wind out of my sails talking about the other one so much. So,
well, yeah, it's hard to listen to people I know.
I know.
it limits the D in the I. Did you find this to be kind of homophobic when you were watching it, or like a little bit? Like, I can't remember the specific scenes because it's been 6 years now, but when I saw this, but it felt like there was like references to like the Sheriff of Nottingham and like,
no, I didn't really get that
being predatory potentially. And then there's the stuff with the priests and stuff like that. At times it felt like there was a couple scenes and references that seemed like to insinuate some things, like
maybe that kind of with the priest, because when the bishop is there. But I thought they were more trying to make him like Varys, like the Game of Thrones character, rather than any like attempt at homophobia. This is a really super inclusive movie in almost every way. I mean, there's no gay characters in it, but there's also, and I didn't feel
yeah okay
like there was any attempt.
I can't remember. I remember like I just wish I should probably I don't need to watch it again. But but I just remember like there's things the Mendelsohn Sheriff of Nottingham is the worst. It's so really bad.
It's really bad. He's not even like menacing most of the time. That's the worst thing. Like at least Alan Rickman's there like feeling like a villain. You know,
sure, like, and he's chewing some scenery too in that, like when you go back and look at it. But at the same time, it's still like, even if it's a little cartoony, it's like still like a villain. And it's like this guy just feels like I don't even know what he feels like an ineffectual, like underling.
Yeah, agreed.
It's really poorly like he's trying to do something in it that doesn't work. Mendelsohn, it just doesn't work, I don't think, like with that character. I thought this movie was hilarious though, like I really did, like when I saw it like 6 years ago I thought it was really funny. Like the dialogue's really bad.
The thing that makes it not, that I found to be not funny about it, was the fact that it's 2 hours and 15 minutes long. Like it's a long fucking movie. And way too long for being what it is. But it felt like a failed television pilot more than anything. Like I don't understand why. I don't know who greenlit it or who thought it was a good idea. Like it's seriously. I mean, you got Russell Crowe, not really at the peak of his popularity, but he's not like unpopular at that point. I don't know. In the heyday of like going to the movies, and like you can't really like get a sequel out of that, so why make this movie?
Right.
Oh, and Jamie Foxx is fucking Little John.
Yes.
Or just John. Yes. Or Yuan, that Robin Hood can't pronounce his name, so they just call him John, because that's right. Apparently what it translates to in the Arabic or whatever. I don't know.
So. Uh-huh. Yeah, this guy is a guy that like just directed some television like in England that directed that 2018 one. Leo is one of the bigger backers production wise of it. So I guess it's his fault.
It's everyone's fault. It's a bad idea though.
Yeah.
It's funny because you and I talked about this when I first brought up the fact that I was watching the original or the 2010 Robin Hood. That I mean, there's a decent amount of Robin Hood adaptations out there. And some of them are good and some of them are just like mediocre. But it's like, why do you keep making it, you know? Like,
right. I'll say this positive about that 2010. At least it tried to do something different.
Yeah, it's true. You know, it wasn't like it would. The Prince of Thieves is a big, like, actiony, fun, swashbuckling movie. It's like almost like an homage to the Errol Flynn era of Robin Hood stuff. And then to bookend it, you've got the friggin', you know, 2010 one, which is down in the dirt and grime and whatever. And that was like, that can be the end of it. Like, there, I don't think there's a need to make any more Robin Hood shit after that.
Agreed. Yes.
What are you going to do? Like, you're not going to change the basic premise.
Right. And it's like, after that, like, Costner one, are you ever going to have a better song?
It's true. Everything I do. That was accidental.
You don't even understand, like, the levels, like, that I go through sometimes to set you up. you just got it that time, like you picked up on it, like
oh man, you're so subtle. Anyway, so
who's got the eye now, motherfucker? That's the C, right? That's not the C. What's the other one? The S support. The support, yeah.
You definitely don't have the D.
Support and a collaboration. That's me. So, what's your chagrin on the first movie, on the 10, and then the 18?
2010 is like a 6. for Chagrin. I enjoyed parts of it, but there's more of it that I didn't enjoy, but I didn't not enjoy it enough for me to really hate it or anything. So it's right there on that line, 5 or 6, you know, just kind of meh.
Mm-hmm. What about the 18 one?
Solid 8, yeah. I would say. I really don't know how I forced myself to sit through it. Just because, like, I knew I didn't have to, because I already had one in the bag. And then I sat there and did it anyway. So I guess that's my devotion to the Spin Chagrin.
Right. So I follow Chagrin rules on that Robin Hood movie. And I'll say, I think it was actually like fairly well paced. Like I didn't feel the runtime on it. I mean, it might be surprising considering what I said. I think like watching that movie, like I think I'd agree with you. It's like a 5, like something like that. Like it was more post of thinking about the genre, and my Chagrin like is up to like a 9. Like when it comes to like the genre itself, like just irritates me. But yeah, I think it's a really poor, like, I think more than the thing that disappoints me more than anything is Ridley Scott in that movie. Like, it's a really, to me, poor showing for someone who is such a legend. Like, it's a really nothing showing. I shouldn't say poor. Like, just nothing. Like, there's just nothing interesting that he's doing necessarily.
Yeah. I mean, but he's, you know what I look at it as? It's like Chris Columbus School of Directing. Like, you're not doing anything above and beyond, but you're also not doing anything like that takes it in the other direction. You're just letting it out there. Just let it go. Let it be its own thing, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not saying that's like the right way to do anything, but I think those movies can be fine. I don't think the direction gets in the way of the movie at all.
No.
In fact, really, it's actually a shot that he steals from Gladiator. That's my least favorite shot of the movie, which is after Godfrey gets the arrow through his neck, when he kind of like smiles and looks up at the sky, and it's just like an above shot with him moving. It's just like that shot in Gladiator after Crow gets knocked out and is being transported to the slave pens, where it's like him floating above the ground, like with the sky. Anyway, I hate that shot, and I don't understand why Ridley Scott thinks it's a good one. But yeah, I don't know. Whatever.
Robin yeah, got Robin I'm sh- whatever. I think that's Russell Crowe thing. I think they probably use that shot in what is that? Not Under a Tuscan Sun. A Good Year or something like that. Is that movie that he was in?
There's that Tuscan one.
Yeah, but that's not him that's in that, I don't think. I think that's like a female driven like cast or something.
You're right though. It is that a Good Year or whatever.
Yeah, like it feels Robert like that's
Chomper, you think it happens in that?
Maybe. Whatever. I'm going to go on a ledge and say that Russell Crowe's got like three actually like really good roles.
Good roles?
Yeah, that he's like that like he like nails.
Let's look at this man's filmography and see. Oh, I almost clicked on Philanthropy. I don't want to know that. Full on Rapist.
LA Confidential.
Okay, that's one.
Mm-hmm. Gladiator, he fits that role well.
That's a good role.
Yep.
He's actually pretty good in A Beautiful Mind, too, even though I think that movie's really boring.
I've never watched that, and I can never watch that.
He's really good in that in Hidden 310 to Yuma.
Yes, that's another one.
He's good in American Gangster.
Oh, yeah, I always forget that he's in that. I don't know if that's a good sign. I could replace him with, like, 5 different actors in that, Bob, probably. Nice Guys he's good in, because they play off of his weaknesses.
True, I really enjoy that movie.
That's it.
You don't think he's amazing in The Pope's Exorcist?
Was that a Chagrin movie?
Oh
It
God,
was.
it
I
could
think
have
it
been.
was.
Yeah.
Pretty sure it was. All right. You want to see what you get next week?
Oh man, he's in the Kraven the Hunter movie? That makes me sad.
I think he's the dad or something.
He is. Yeah. Yeah, hit me up.
Oh, new layout. What are you doing to me?
What are you giving
All
me?
right. The category for next week is sometimes you get the map, sometimes you don't.
Too bad there's not ever going to be another movie of that franchise for me to fucking
yeah.
Talk
sometimes
about
you
it.
get the map, sometimes you don't.
I'm almost positive that's a National Treasure, right? Quote.
No, I think it's actually probably Uncharted.
Yeah, that is true. That happens there too. And probably several other movies.
Right. Yeah, that I think that's the point. As soon as you said it, it was like that. That happens in every movie involving an adventure with a map.
Yeah.
Is the map somehow is not with the protagonist before it is with the protagonist?
You know what's really funny is I actually not even like obviously not related to the Spin Chagrin. Stuck a movie on my Tubi playlist today that I think perfectly fits that description. So
I'm sure. Like, you know where you know King Solomon's Mines. I don't remember that movie because it was a Larry movie, so I like blocked it out of my mind. But bet you any amount of money there's a map. And that map goes away and then it comes back before they get it again.
Here's the problem, though, is I've already seen it.
I've seen everything.
I have seen a lot of action adventure movies.
Yes,
you know,
sure.
Not gonna,
so. Sure. But yeah, I'm sure there's 18 million movies that have somebody using a map to find a treasure or something.
Oh my God, I know what I could watch. Oh, it'd be so bad. Streaming for free anywhere. No, maybe not. That might be the one thing that saves me. Otherwise, I'd have to watch it. No.
So if you want to continue main primary feed podcast Chagrin, listen to us soon as we continue going through the Saw franchise, because that was bonus Chagrin for the year. I didn't expect it to be this bleak, Frank. I thought it might be funnier, but it's just kind of sad, these movies.
Here's what I would say to you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad they're not Chagrin movies because I've yet to be able to get through one without falling asleep. So it's taken me a really long time. And the worst thing is then I have to remember what was happening. Mm-hmm. And I have to go back through fucking DVDs, through DVDs to find where the fuck I was when.
That's rough.
I fell asleep.
That's rough.
So it's probably taking me four times as long to watch each movie as the movies actually are. And they're all really long anyway.
They're that's the sad thing is you take the credits away and they're all 88 minutes or something like
that. Oh my God, they don't feel like it.
Yeah. It's bleak. How are you for the next podcast? Are you through one or two?
Oh, I started number six.
Oh, okay. So give them a little preview. Do you think it's gotten better than the first three or worse?
I mean, it's better in some ways.
Right. Right.
The thing that I don't like, not to spoil too much, but the thing that really bothers me is it's they're just so fucking proud of themselves, like, all the time. Like, they're showing you something, like, oh, look at this from this perspective. And it's like, fuck you, man. Like, you ain't doing nothing special or smart or anything. Like, just, like, shoehorning some character behind the scenes into a scene from three movies ago by saying he was behind the door the whole time. Oh, like, it's just fucking lame. I don't know.
Yeah. Frank's gonna shoot on those old podcasts. That's where we're gonna get Frank.
But on the other side of that, I legitimately think there are parts of those movies that border on interesting and well done. Like, it's weird because sometimes. Agreed. Sometimes I really get into it and I'm interested, and then sometimes they just sort of,
yeah,
I don't know. It's just stupid or like,
yeah, it's really, like, it's complex.
Way too graphic from time to time too. There was for no reason. Like, what did I say to you today? It's like fetishistically, or no, last night, I guess we were on,
yeah,
on Zoom call and I was watching part five and I was like, or part four, maybe part four. Yeah. Cause I watched five today.
Mm-hmm.
And I was saying, like, it's so, like, just fetishistically, like, looking at this, like, whatever, autopsy. And, like, mm-hmm. It's not even scary. Like, I don't know. What the right. Fuck? It's gross. The whole series is gross.
Yes. That's pretty accurate. That, like, shifting is pretty accurate to my feeling. But, I do think there's more positive to talk about, a little bit more, maybe not, let's not everybody go wild, but, a little bit more positive to talk about maybe
in some of these
than we have so far. But, yeah. So give the people a little hope.
Right. I think there's stuff in them that, like I said, I think there's parts that verge on being good.
Sure. I think the ending of number five, as my little like preview, is the best ending of any of the Saw movies. Even it's ridiculous. Like, I'll make a case for like why I think it's a little bit better than some of those other endings. but still, I mean, what is your line? It's like comparing, like, you know, like solid
poop to diarrhea.
Yeah.
Little shit, buddy.
Right. So, all right. So next week we'll be back with Sometimes You Get the Map and Sometimes You Don't. As the category, please follow us on the primary feed for continuation of the Saw movies. Sometime in the next month, we will be doing a watch along for any wrestling fans with No Holds Barred, the match, the movie. So we'll be watching both No Holds Barred, the movie, and the match that was originally aired on pay-per-view with it. It's only like 10 minutes long or something. But, and then we'll be back with a friend of the podcast, Mike Bledsoe, in April for the Good and the Bad and the Ugly discussion. And please check out what we just released in the past week, which is the most recent Quick Cage, episode 98 of that, where Frank is talking about Dream Scenario, and we have a short discussion on cancel culture. So thanks for listening, everybody, and have a great week.
Deuces.